will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base. We have used it in order to shorten the agony of war. We shall continue to use it until we completely destroy Japan's power to make war.
This is AM. And first, the Soviet Union has admitted there's been an accident at one of its nuclear power stations. The first signs of the accident were detected in Scandinavia, nearly 1,600 kilometres from the power station at Chernobyl.
Japan fighting to avert a nuclear catastrophe after another explosion at the damaged Fukushima nuclear power plant. A third explosion has released radiation and forced workers to leave the facility.
Now, these were just a few ABC archival reports of nuclear disaster. So there's little wonder that the word nuclear fills many people with a sense of dread, right? But is that all there is? Nuclear anything is bad? If so, why then is nuclear energy being considered as a valid option of an alternative source of power? Who's considering this and why? Well, joining me to decide whether it's smart or a dangerous idea are my guests. Adam Bandt is Deputy Leader of the Australian Greens Party, and David Limbrick is the Liberal Democratic Member of the Victorian Legislative Council. He represents the South Eastern Metropolitan Region. They both join me from the ABC Melbourne studio. Adam, David, welcome to Between the Lines.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
David, let's start with you. You made a proposal that's currently being floated in the Victorian Parliament. Summarise briefly what it is.
Okay, so back in 1983 in Victoria, we instituted bans on pretty much everything nuclear, so everything to do with exploration, mining, any sort of technology or anything to do with the fuel cycle. And my view is, and the view of the Parliament at this stage, is that a lot of things have changed since 1983. In 1983, we weren't talking about things like climate change so much. The nuclear technology was very different to today. People's opinions have changed a lot about nuclear in that time. So what this proposal is doing is reviewing that ban, that prohibition that was put in place in 1983, and looking at, would there be some benefits if this ban was removed in Victoria? Have things changed so that there might be benefits that we're missing out on?
Okay, let's clarify exactly what we're talking about. I mean, how is it different from what is used in, say, weapons?
It's totally different to what's used in weapons. So this inquiry is just looking at all nuclear technologies that are associated with, you know, energy production or science or medicine. But we're not looking at anything to do with weapons or anything like that. And that's a totally different technology stream.
And how does Victorian law compare with other states and territories?
It's fairly similar in some ways. So New South Wales has a similar type of ban, with exceptions, of course, with the existing reactor that we've got in Sydney. And in federal law, there was a ban put in 1998 by the Democrats and the Greens put in an amendment to stop any new licenses for new nuclear reactors. So there's similar bans in other states, but there's also similar inquiries happening at the moment. So there's a flurry of inquiries at the moment. There's a federal inquiry, a New South Wales inquiry, and now a Victorian inquiry looking at these bans and whether they're still relevant in 21st century.
Okay, now it's past the Victorian upper house. What do you want to achieve then? I mean, I'm assuming it's something to do with a solution to climate change.
Well, there's lots of possible benefits, and one of them is to look at clean energy production, but there's also other benefits. So there's a lot of uses for nuclear technology, such as industrial energy production, medicine, scientific research, and even space exploration. So there's lots of things that we're not allowed to do at the moment because of these prohibitions. And we want to look at what might be the possible benefits and things that Victoria is being left behind on.
Let's bring in Adam Bandt here. We're already using nuclear energy in things such as cancer treatments, x-rays. There are some good applications, aren't there?
Well, it's currently illegal in Australia to use nuclear energy to generate electricity, for example, to run nuclear power plant. And it's that David is talking about changing, having a look at changing. There's a reason it's illegal. We don't want a Fukushima-style disaster in Australia. We don't want a repeat of Chernobyl here in Australia. It's illegal for very, very good reasons.
So there's no such thing as a good nuclear energy, Adam?
In terms of building new nuclear power plants to generate electricity in Australia, no, absolutely not. I mean, if you have, we now have the situation where renewables plus storage would be cheaper by several orders of magnitude than building a nuclear power plant. So if you have an accident at a wind farm, it's called a stiff breeze. If you have an accident at a nuclear power plant, it is called Chernobyl or Fukushima. Why on earth would you want to pay two or three times as much for energy that is dangerous, where there is no way of storing the waste safely, when we have safe alternatives here in Australia now that are cheaper?
David Limerick.
Yeah, so firstly, the IPCC clearly recommends in the 2014 report that nuclear energy will play a part in decarbonisation. With regards to the costs that you're talking about, I don't see how it's possible to properly price something that's prohibited. If you're going to price something, you need a market for it.
But there's plenty of worldwide experience. Every one of the recent power plants that have been constructed have blown out. The one in the UK that they're looking at, they're now looking at close to $50 billion for the total cost of that plant. None of them. There's been a study of every one of the nuclear 674 nuclear reactors built between 1951 and 2017. Every one of them required government subsidies. None of them were totally funded by the private sector and put up by the private sector. And there's a reason for that.
Do you think things should be prohibited because they're expensive? By that logic, renewables should be prohibited.
I think they should be prohibited because they're dangerous. I don't think you're listening to the science about how quickly we need to act, because we need to do it in the next 10 years and these proposals won't come online in that time. And B, if we're going to do it, why go for the more expensive option when there's a cheaper, safer option?
There are lots of applications here. I mean, what you're talking about is grid-scale electricity production. That's primarily what you're talking about with renewables. There are lots of other applications of nuclear technology which are outside of that. So things like industrial thermal heat production, there is no renewable technology that can provide that. Things like remote mining operations, there is no renewable technology that can provide that sort of energy.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding? Have you paid attention to what is happening in the industry in Australia at the moment?
If you just tuned in, you're on Between the Lines on RN, and this is Tom Switzer. My job today is made a lot easier by my guests, Adam Bant from the Greens and David Limbrick from the Liberal Democrats, both in Melbourne. And we're discussing the possibility in Australia of introducing nuclear energy as another alternative source of power. David Limbrick, South Australia has seen a lot of success with its green energy markets. The public policy think tank, the Australia Institute, held an audit that showed for the last year and a half, half of all supplied energy was from renewable generation. Why doesn't Victoria follow their lead?
Okay, if we look at South Australia, one of the things that they always talk about is this is the Tesla battery, right? So if we wanted to supply Australia's total market with Tesla batteries, we would need about 700 of them to supply just 4 hours of power for the Australian market. And that would cost about $50 billion.
Adam Bant.
What we need is not baseload power, it's dispatchable power. We just need to be guaranteed that when you flick the switch, the lights will come on. The power's available when you need it. And so if you build enough renewables and have enough interconnection across Australia, what the South Australian experience is showing us is that you can deliver a lot of that, because although the wind may not be blowing in one place, it's usually blowing somewhere in a state or across Australia. And so provided you've built enough of it and you've treated it as an engineering problem rather than a market problem, then you're going to have capacity coming on. But what you need is storage. That's not all lots of batteries expensive as you suggest. Let's build some off-river pumped hydro.
Okay, let's move back to nuclear.
Are you suggesting you want dams?
Let's move it back to nuclear here, because last year there was a move to build nuclear waste facilities. I think it was in rural South Australia, and it led to a broader discussion. This is local resident Tony Clark. He was asked what he thought of nuclear energy.
What do I think? I think of Chernobyl, for one, and then I think of Fukushima, for one. Man-made infrastructure that is supposed to be foolproof, suddenly destroyed and start leaking crap out all over the place. And so I don't trust that anything man-made can withstand the forces of nature.
Now, David Limbrick, there is an image problem here, isn't there?
Well, interestingly, Fukushima was what changed my mind on nuclear. I used to be anti-nuclear. If you look at what happened in Fukushima, no one was harmed from radiation. Fukushima Beach just reopened last week. And in fact, my family's been there twice for holidays since the disaster. They've got a really cool resort there with a water slide. One of the biggest problems that they've got in Fukushima at the moment is people there getting harmed by scaremongering about radiation, and people are scared to go there for tourism or buy their produce when there's no problems whatsoever with it.
There's 80,000 people still displaced in Fukushima. There's been 2,000 deaths that have been connected in one way or another with the disaster. There's
none of them from radiation.
There's three reactors that are still releasing radioactive nanoparticles after the meltdown. It is still leaking contaminated water into the ocean. The cost of what they've had to at Chernobyl, like they have just recently spent in the billions of dollars to put a big concrete bunker over something that is still radioactive. The number of deaths from that still hasn't been calculated, but it's at least in the tens of thousands, if not higher. Cancer rates amongst kids shot up to 90% in the aftermath. If something goes wrong, it goes wrong massively. And there is still no safe way of storing the waste. You were talking about a nuclear fuel rod might last 3 years and then be radioactive for hundreds of thousands of years after that. Now, three years of hot water in return for 100,000 years of toxic substance that we don't know how to deal with and store safely. And when you look over in Germany at the moment, you look at Washington State, where these things are leaking out in polluting rivers, contaminating rivers. Why would you create that kind of mess and put Australia at that kind of risk when there is a safer, cheaper alternative?
David Limbrick.
Let's talk about waste. Okay, so every source of energy production, electricity production, has waste. Nuclear actually has the smallest amount of waste of any energy production source, and it's the only type of energy production where all of the waste is totally managed and captured. If we look at some of the waste generated by things like wind turbines, people don't think of that in waste because we only see the end product. Wind turbines are producing radioactive unmanaged waste in China right now. You need about 400 tons of coal to build a wind turbine. You need about 200 tons for the concrete and 200 tons to refine the iron ore into steel. The blades on a wind turbine are all made from fossil fuels. There is no way to make those blades without fossil fuels. If you look at solar panels, for example, in Australia by 2050, there's projected to be about 1.5 million tons of solar panels that are waste. And they've got cadmium telluride in them. That's a toxic material. There is no plan at all to deal with solar panel waste at all. There is no recycling facilities here. They're just putting it in sheds. In South Australia, there's a startup facility, but at the moment, there's hardly any recycling of solar panels in Victoria.
Final word, Adam Band.
Well, nuclear at the moment is not only illegal in Australia for very good reasons, it's on these small-scale nuclear reactors don't exist yet at a commercial scale that David is talking about. What we do know about nuclear is that it would take a very, very long time to come on board in Australia, far too long to deal with the climate crisis. It is unsafe. And here in Australia, we are blessed with renewable opportunities. We could have cheap renewables that are clean. The source of the fuel is free. If there's an accident at a wind farm, as I said, it is called a stiff breeze, whereas an accident at a nuclear power plant is a disaster.
Gentlemen, taxpayers should pay you two a bit extra this week because you've done my job for me. Adam Bant, David Grimm, it seems we may need to agree to disagree. Thanks so much for being on Between the Lines today.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks a lot.
Adam Bant is Deputy Leader of the Australian Greens Party and David Limbrick is the Liberal Democratic Party member of the Victorian Legislative Council.